Let's pray.
Bene.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, gracious Father, this evening because of your love and care and your unwavering concern over your children. Redeemer, we thank you that you've allowed even this annual anniversary to stand before your children, Lord. Gracious King, you know how unsuitable I am, Master, even to stand before your saints. It may pray that you come and take over. And whatever little God you put in my heart, oh Father, may you give me the right utterance, oh gracious Master, that it may come out in the way you purpose it to be so. I thank you even for the reading of the scriptures we are about to read. Jehovah God, without you, we are nothing. We can only intellectually or academically read it. But Father, we need your spirit to grant us the revelation. We ask God that you come and do it, O Master, because it's in Jesus' name that we pray and believe. Amen. Book of Matthew, I'll read two scriptures. Book of Matthew, 5:48. Be therefore perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be therefore perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The book of Ephesians 4. Verse 11. I'll read 11. Let's read 11 and 12, then we shall continue later on. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. As I said, you pray for my voice. Some people tell me I'm a small body and a big voice. I hope you listen to the voice, forget about the body.
So
if you don't see the body and you hear the voice, I pray that God will make it come in a way that it can be heard properly.
I'm not a good speaker.
Sometimes I admire when I see my brother, the way sometimes my brother Piri preaches in a very orderly way. And we just follow a thought and follow it step by step. I wish I could bring mine like that. Mine is mixed up. I can start from here. I go down and I sometimes forget where I stand. I have to go back to it. So just bear with me, particularly those of this fellowship. Just bear with me. If you see the words mixing up, just pray for me that God may try to put them back in order, that they may be heard properly. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you, not for long, because it's now 4, about be ye perfect. Be ye perfect. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, be ye what? Perfect. You see, when I say, be ye what? Perfect. Here you say perfect. In Kenya we say perfect. Be ye perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now I want us to take our minds back a bit. That when Jesus was coming to this statement. Where had he started? Why was he talking about us being perfect? And he says, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if you look at chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, it starts the beatitude, and then he speaks about something. Because in these beatitudes, he talks about poor in the spirit, they that mourn, them that are meek, they that do hunger and thirst, they that are merciful, they that are also pure in heart, they that are peacemakers, and then he finishes by they that are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for there's the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
And he says, those are the ones who are blessed. I know you have heard of that, and maybe the pastors have preached about it. I'm not going to the details of that. But when he finishes that beatitude, he says something like this: you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. Or what do you call salt? Salt. Salt or salt? Salt. Oh, salt.
Salt yaziko.
Yes. You are the salt of the earth. Okay? And it says you are the light of the world. Praise God. Now, when he's talking about us being the salt of the earth, he again follows and asks a question or gives a statement that if the salt has lost its savor, what can make it to be salted again? He said it is helpful, good for nothing, but be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Praise God.
Now,
he also talks about the light. And he says we are the light of the world. You realize something? Amen. That this test that we are supposed to have, or Christ is supposed to have, to the world, when Jesus was coming here, it had lost its savor. And therefore, because everything had been misinterpreted and had been misrepresented. But he was telling us that test that was intended of us from the beginning is what he was coming to restore again. So he said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing. It's only good to be trodden down by men. And when I look at the current situation in the world today, in the world of Christendom, or Christianity, you see, what they call Christianity has become so formal that even the world has reached a situation where they think this God of the Christians is like that God of the Hindus. Is that like God of the Muslims? Because what they expected, what they hear of the Bible, when they look at those people professing to be Christians, they can't see it. Are we together? When they talk about the last of the world, when they come the leaders in the church, they are the are leading.
In
being desirous and lustful of worldly things. I was telling some people in my country that, you know, church leaders in our country run after politicians during campaigns. Because when they come to your church like here, you give them the pulpit. In Kenya, we call them honorables. The honorable member of parliament or the honorable MP, whoever. When he comes and sits, he enters the church. Even if the pastor was preaching, he will stop preaching. Because the honorable has entered. And he gives him the microphone. That the honorable MP has come. You come and greet your people. So the church of God has become the people of the politicians. And when he does that, there's something we call in Kenya a brown envelope.
Brown envelope.
Yes, a brown envelope.
Envelope, yeah, brown.
Exactly that one. Yeah, are we together? You know, when a politician does this in his coat,
so yeah, I pressure that is that.
And he says, I have something little here to help the church. And I want to present the pastor. The pastor knows. That's not $100. It's not $100.
$100.
It is about $1,000 and above. So if 3, 4, 5 MPs come to your church, you're okay, that's this
one.
Are we together? So the church has sold itself to the world. And therefore the respect for Christians has gone down. No one considers. Even in our country, you say you are a pastor, people just look at you. And they see a beggar. A beggar, a con man, or something of that nature. And you're only valuable if there's a wedding somewhere, where there's a wedding, and a funeral. Are we together? You go and bury and you go and join people in weddings. But anything else about that is about money. Brethren, God, when he came, he said that we are the salt of the earth. Now, whether the world church has gone like that, whether the church of the world has taken that direction, God has his people who will still be salty, who are still salty, who can still light in this dark world. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, that's not what I wanted to talk about, but this is this part, other part. He says this, that verse 17 of chapter 5, think, know that I am come to destroy the law, all the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Remember, we are talking about we being perfect. And the thing is, I want to give you a small background. Why he concluded that statement? He says, I have not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill it. Now listen here. Are we together? He says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? In the world of today, in the Pentecostal realm and the others, there is this language they use. I don't know whether it is here. We are under grace. We are not under law. We are under grace. Are we together? So don't stop giving us law. We are under what? Grace. I want to tell you something today. Grace is tougher than the law. Are you hearing me? Grace is tougher than the law. And Jesus said that no part of that law shall go unfulfilled. In other words, there's no part of the law that shall not go before it is application has taken place. Are you hearing that? Here's one thing. He says, in the old times, says, you shall not kill. I want you to listen very carefully. You shall not kill. That's what the Lord said. But what does Jesus say? He said, if, let me read for you, verse 21, your father was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Now listen, brothers and sisters. Are you here? Are you here? Can you hear me? Amen. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council.
And
but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Listen, in the Old Testament, you could be annoyed of your brother or your neighbor or whoever you are. You could even feel in your heart, if I meet that man, I can't kill him. You would even wish that he is knocked by a car or eaten by a wild animal and he dies. Please listen. Please listen. This is very important. Are you together? You could wish that he dies. But as long as you've not taken a knife, or a sword, and pass through his chest or his stomach, you have not killed him. Are you listening? But in the day of grace, thinking bad about your brother, are we together? Being annoyed of him, yes, you are already a killer. You're already a killer. Praise God. He says, do not commit adultery. But whoever looks upon, but he says what? But I say unto you, whoever looks, just looking upon a woman lustfully, nothing has happened, but you've just looked at her. In you, you have already committed what? Are you listening, brothers? Are you listening, sisters? Now, what was God trying to tell us? That now, you see, it was not about the flesh. It was not about that physical part. That people are so much concerned about the Old Testament. No, but it is that inner man that was created in the likeness and the image of God is what God is concerned about. Praise God. That's why when he came, he said, no, it's not about what you're seeing here. And you know, in the Old Testament, them. And I know even today, things are not different. People are so much on the flesh that they hardly see when Jesus is talking, when God is talking. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Praise God. That's why in the book of Romans, Paul talks about that the law that we are of is that the one that comes by faith in believing the word of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me read for you. Romans 3. No, even before it goes to Romans 3, it goes to Romans 2.
What?
Romans 2.
Aloma mutwa 2.
Aha. Verse 13.
Pandime 13.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Not sabi at ombera kulamulo kukumbea kulamulo yamulungu koma at ochita lamulonde orungamikitwa.
Are you getting that? Now, how is this doer of the law justified? You listen to this part. He says in verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, praise God, praise the Lord. I told you I'm a noisy preacher, so please, when I say amen, say amen with me. Are you together? Others, I will say what Pastor Moino told us yesterday. If you don't say, I'll repeat again and until you say amen. But when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, this having not the law are a law unto themselves. Are you getting that? Let me bring it down. Let me break it to our nature. If someone who is not a Christian does things that are in line with the word of God, who is not one, he is justified by what he's doing. Are we together, brethren? No, there is a deception that comes in our Christianity, or even the message believers. Just because you are a believer of the message and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you think you are entitled for the rapture. Brother, you are not. And by believing the message does not make you a Christian. In fact, I normally say in my country, we have so many message believers, but very few Christians. Do you get that? We have so many message believers, but very few Christians. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how many here are Christians today. Because I know all of you are message believers. Am I right? All of you are message believers. Don't we believe in the message of William of Malachi? 4, 5, 6. We all believe. Yes. So we are all message believers, don't we? Aren't we? But how many are Christians? Amen. How many are Christians? Praise God. God bless you, brother. I'm asking how many Christians. Hands are down, so I don't know. So you are not Christian. You say believers. And I want to tell you today, you need to be Christians. You need to be taught to stop being message believers. You need to be Christians. You see, brothers, the same disease in the denomination has come to message believers.
Are you a Christian? I'm a Catholic. Are you a Christian? I'm Presbyterian.
You are Christian, you're not Presbyterian.
I'm telling you, there are very few Christians, there are very few message believers who can testify about the Lord Jesus. There are very few who can tell people about Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Sisters, listen. You are not allowed to be preachers. The word has not allowed to be preachers. But the word has not stopped people from being witnesses. Yes.
Amen.
Are you getting that? You don't have to be preachers, yes. You don't stand in the pulpit. Preaching is here. Amina.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? But when you're in your working place, how many times do you talk to your workmates about Jesus? How many times do you tell them about salvation?
Also,
that's the work of men. Who said so? Do you witness? Do you tell them? Praise God. Praise God. I know you can sleep. You can't say amen for that.
Amen.
Amen. All of us, the Bible says, and you shall be what?
Witnesses.
How many did receive the Holy Ghost that day in the day of Pentecost? Were women there? Were women there?
Yes.
Were they filled?
Yes.
Were they filled or were they left out? I'm asking you. I was once a teacher, so when I ask you, answer me. I'm asking you, in the day of
Pentecost,
how many people were there in the upper room?
120.
Is that all? How many were women there? Were they sisters? Were they filled with the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Even when you're in a workplace, share them about the gospel. Share to them about Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, don't say amen. You keep quiet. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something. You see what? Sister, you're in an office. Something happens. Someone becomes sick. And we are, you know, the Pentecostals are very fast. Are you together? There's someone who will pray for us. You are also there and your tail behind your legs. Instead of taking that opportunity to exercise your faith and tell them that my God is able. Cool, settle. We can pray for him, he can believe. We can pray for her if she can believe. Are we together? Praise God. Because the Bible says, them that believe, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall do what? Now, my question is it only men who can lay hands on the sick? Is it only men who believe? Do sister, do you believe? Just forgive me. That's when I finish this preaching, I'll go back home. Do you believe? Are you believers? And the Bible says, they that do what? They shall lay hands on. Now, if a sister lays hands on the sick, will she recover? Will he recover? Or because she said she will not recover? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just persevere with me. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to verse 15. I'm in Romans 3. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Which show the work of the law
written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Praise God. That these people who live right, it means that in their hearts, that law is written there. In their conscience, they are bearing the witness of that law. In their thoughts, are we together? That law is there. And I want to tell you something now. That the word of God, amen, amen, has to start from the heart. Are you listening? As the Paul says, just go slowly. Verse 21, or chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21.
Romans 3, verse 21.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them all that believe, for there is no difference. Praise God. That the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, is to all them that believe. Amen. Can I repeat again? The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is unto all them that believe. Are you hearing me? Praise God. So it's not the fulfillment of a certain physical law. When we are fulfilling a physical law, it has to come from the heart. That's why in the book of Romans 10, I think it's verse what? Let me see. Verse 6. Romans 10, verse 6. He says what? But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from heaven. Or who shall ascend in the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. Where is the word of God? It's near you. Where? Near you. Even where? In your mouth. And where? Are you with me really? Where is the word of God? It is near where? It's in your mouth. And where? In your heart. Praise God. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? That word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, be saved. It's very common. People say it so easily. Oh, I believe. Isn't it? As I have said, are we not believers? Are we not all believers? Everyone said yes. Well, we are believers. Then I asked, how many of those believers are Christian? People kept quiet. Because we are not even sure. Whether being a believer is being a Christian. Sure? Some people are not sure. Miraculously, when we are believers, are we Christians? One time, my pastor Silas made me laugh somewhere. In Kenya, we have Catholics, we have Pentecostals, we have message believers. When Catholics meet,
there
is the way they greet each other.
Kimamina maposherana.
Tumusifu Yesu Kristo. Siji milele na daima. Daima na milele, tumusifu Yesu Kristo. Okay, that is, let us praise the Lord forever and ever. Forever and ever, let us praise the Lord. That's how the Catholics preach. Greet each other. Are you getting that? Amen?
Amen.
Then, when the Pentecostals meet, they say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, when the message believers meet, what they say? Tell me what they say. Yes? God bless you. Just another tradition. You will find that when a message believer brings a Pentecostal, the Pentecostal says, praise the Lord, he won't say that. Because to him, the right way is not praise the Lord. The right way is, God bless you. That's our identity. When we meet, God bless you.
So tikakumana mlungu adarise, ndiye mankaribu yatu.
We don't agree, but when we meet, God bless you. These are polygamists. These are whatever. When we meet, God bless you. Because we are all what? Message believers. So it has just become a greeting.
So,
for believers of the message, we have a greeting for Catholics, we have a greeting for the Pentecostals. But the Bible is saying something here, that if you believe in your heart, you must first of all believe, not with your mouth, not with your head, but where? In your heart. So that when you are confessing, it is something that is out of your heart. Praise God. Are you with me? Praise God. Amen. And that's why Jesus Christ was talking about now, getting the thing out of the outside and bringing it into the inner man. Because the concern is that man who was created in the image and likeness of God. That soul is the one that God is concerned about. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And that's why, amen. Amen. Romans, verse where we're in 10:10, says this. Listen here. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. Shika mnashika. What is that trading thing? With the heart. With the what? Hello. I know you know we have eaten Nguku. We have eaten what? Eh? Shima. No, there was no Shima today. I never saw Shima. I saw rice. I saw
mayonnaise.
I know I saw all those good things. And when the stomach has been fed well, when it sits down, And the gospel is not very exciting. It's not about money and prosperity. So now you feel like you want to doze and sleep and feel good. Amen. But I'm saying this. Paul says, with the heart, man does what? Not with the head. With the what? Man does what? After you believe, you confess with the mouth unto salvation. Brethren, you listen to me. If your heart has not received this word, your confession is in vain. If your heart has not got the revelation of this word, your confession is in vain. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? That you must believe from your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amina.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen carefully. The mistake that came with the message was that instead of those who received the message to bring it to, so that it can pierce our hearts, you know what it did? It came and dressed our bodies. You know, sisters, you shave the hair. Sisters, long hair. Men, I don't know, shave your hair. Men, do this. Sisters, don't do this. Sisters, do this. Aha! You know, we believers stay like this. We non-believers stay like this. So we stay like that. We dress like that. Are we together? We even talked like that. We slept like that. But in our hearts, there was nothing. Are you getting the thing? Are you getting the thing? So we became good keepers of a law that we cannot even explain. That's why when you ask, are you a Christian? I'm a message believer. You are crazy. The message came to make us Christians. The message never came to make us message believers. The message came to make us better Christians. The message came to make us Christians. Back to the book of the apostles.
Amen.
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 And in Antioch. Are you listening? It was the first place
in
where people are called message believers. Is that so? Is that so? Okay, we know my saying. To be like message believers. To be like
Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He says, for with the mouth, with the heart, man is believeth. That's what I'm saying, that our confession without the faith in the heart is useless. Amen.
Amen.
For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be saved. Is that right? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've heard Pentecostals say, we are calling on the name of the Lord. People say that, don't they? But the question is, are they really calling on God? Which is this God they are calling on? Praise God. Praise God. Because the Bible says, you know, Paul even asked a question. How shall they call on him whom they don't believe? And how shall they believe if they have not heard? And how shall they hear? Without what? Without what?
during the Bible. How shall they without what? A preacher. Are we together? And how shall they preach until they are sent? That's where the problem is. That's where the trouble is. Are we together? We have so many preachers who are in the field whom God has not sent. And I want to echo what Pastor Piri said in the beginning. The first day we arrived here, he said that we have children, are we together, who have been brought up in message believers' houses, daughters of believers, sons of believers. But I want to say this. What makes them that sons of a believer? Without knowing Jesus. One, let's go back to the pulpit. Are we together? What comes out of the pulpit? Because God said, Jesus Christ said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? So we have so many words coming out of the pulpit which are not from the mouth of God. And therefore, even we preachers must evaluate our stand, must evaluate our ministry, must have a true confirmation whether we are actually called or we called ourselves. Because if you are preaching the word that comes from God's mouth, that word carries power. Praise God. But if it's your own creation, you will parrot here, you will make noise here, then you start blaming people. Amen. Second, the parents. You parents, who are you? In the church and in the home. Who are you? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you live the word that you preach? Because some are Christians when they're in the church. When you go back home, the mother is a devil incarnate. The father is an angel of darkness. But on Sunday, you are back here, you are Christians, believers. Amazing grace. And that grace has not done anything in your house. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, you'll excuse me, ministers. Amen. But I know, I believe this. Before you preach to us here, preach to your family. Amen. Show us your family. Amen. Let us see what your family is. Amen. Show us your family. Let us see your wife. Let us see your children. Let us see what has come out of them. Because the Bible says, if you cannot, if you're not able to take care of one part, how are you going to manage other families? 10 of them and yours has beaten you. Paul says this, that an elder must be what? A man of one wife? Yes. And then what should he have done? Must have ruled his children well. They must be subject to the words. Amen. And a pastor is also what? An elder. Yes. Brothers, the word of God has never lost its power. So fruitless.
So kulibe potavila.
In our country, I know this can sound a bit controversial. In our country, the Pentecostals say, the wild people say this, that children of pastors are the most riotous. The most misbehaved ones are the children of pastors and bishops. Until when my son, my firstborn Paul, when he was in the university, he was asked a question. How have you managed to be what you are and you're a son of a pastor? Then told him, my father is my pastor, has taught me the word. You know, saying the sons of a pastor is the most right. That's a satanic statement of the word. But here, the gospel that I preach must start from my house, must start with my wife and my children. Yes. Yes, brother.
In the abode.
I believe that. I believe that. I don't come and preach a gospel that has not convinced my wife, that has not convinced my children. What kind of a God I'm preaching that I don't even have in the house? When I tell you, oh, our God is able, I come back to my house, the chaos, demons are staying there. And I'm telling you that God can get demons out of your house while they have camped. They have even permanently built a house in my house. That's all the kind of gospel that my Bible talks about. The gospel of Jesus Christ starts with me, my wife, and my children before it has gone to the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible has never lied. Amen. You cannot just tell me that here I am a servant of God. I have five children. Well, two are prostitutes. The three are drug addicts. You mean only God gave me, the only good thing that God could give me was to produce the demons in the house while I'm serving us to go to heaven? I don't believe that kind of a God. No, brother. You may not believe me, but that's my stand. But my God begins with me, begins with my children, before he has gone to others. Sisters, Brother Branham said, you are pastors to your children.
Yes.
Sit them down. Teach them the word. Pray with them. Are we together? But if you are there, your child annoys you, say, where did you come from? Where do you think she came from? Amen.
Amen.
I normally say, I don't tell sisters here, when you are carrying a pregnancy for 9 months, whom did you carry the pregnancy for? For the devil. You lay a child, you suffer the troubles and the pains and the problems come with pregnancy. After 9 years, you give birth, you suckle, you take care of that kid, she poops on you, whatever order that defies you, you clean her, or you clean him, you educate him, you rear him for Satan, sure, for Satan. You do that for Satan, and then the son just comes and grabs and goes with your child, and then you are left. You don't even have to pray. You just speak. You are coming back here. You are coming back. You are my son. You are going nowhere. You are coming back. And I want to tell you something. If you are a daughter of God, you say, you son, you are coming back, he will come back. Whether he likes it or not, he will come back. You are not begging him to come back. I know what about here. But the Bible says this. The Bible speaks that whoever disrespects or curses his father or his mother, let him die the death. Is that the Bible? Is that the Bible? Now, in my community, my mother tongue, the Kikuyu.
My anger.
Okay? If mama, your mother, or your father can say, if this womb carried you for 9 months, go out of that gate and see what's going to happen. You dare walk like that, you will not come back. Or if you come back, you come back crippled. Because that mouth of the mother has authority. Has power. When I say, if the world can curse, I remember my own brother-in-law who had married my sister. Even before he married, they were neighbors. One day the mother was so annoyed. And we went to, I'm not talking this because of the mother. They quarreled. He came and called me to plead with his mother. I know what the mother had done. I know what the young man had done. I can't remember. But what I remember was this. She uttered a word. Do you want me to remove my clothes so that you can see where you came from? Are we together? Do you know what? As we speak to you, Ndure, that man is dead. He never survived. Because the mother never retracted that statement. Are you getting that? And the Bible says, whatever you speak with your heart, with your mouth. As Christians, whenever we speak, even the Bible tells us that when we come before God, are you getting me? When we come before God and we speak, we believe that what we are saying is going to come to pass. Is that right? Is that right? I want to hear an amen. 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 Then why do you speak that authority? That authority fought upon your child. That you have given birth to. And take that burden before the Lord if it becomes heavier. Amen. And say, tell God, you gave me this child. I want it back in the faith. See if he's not going to come back. You know, sometimes we become so lenient with the devil that he messes our families, he messes our children. He messes you. I don't know whether they are predestinated or they are what. Even if they are not predestinated, that's not your problem. Your problem is that you are here on earth. Are we together? They must be subject to you and to your God because they came out of your loins. Get it, brothers. Amen. Amen. Ah, I can see it's becoming hard to believe that. Let me give you a testimony of Sister Dorothy. Amen. And it's good my brother Charles is here. Her son. Her last born son, the one she has given you greeting called Moses, had gone into drugs. When he went into drugs, went to college, he was on drugs until he dropped out of college. Because of taking drugs. Then she was telling me, let's pray.
Then I
could pray. But there's one statement I told her. Sister, the way you had the testimony yesterday, she's a very strong supporter of the work of God. Okay? And I'm among the beneficiaries of her support. I told her, sister, if for sure this God that you do support, the one that I preach, is a true God, then your son will definitely come back from drugs.
Are you together?
Amen.
Stop. The women don't pray. One time, Pastor Charles, and me, I don't know whether I can remember. We had gone to Nairobi, and we had taken him to Nairobi to preach. And as usual, we stay in her house. One morning, I told brother, let us pray for the children of this family. You can remember that? Yes. We held hands and we said, remember the woman, the Shunammite woman who welcomed Elijah. And Elisha, let Elisha mean.
And then
Elisha said, what can we do to this lady? She has been so good to us. What can we do? We said, we talked to the pastor, she said, what are you going to do? Jesus has been so good. She supports us with the whole of her heart. What are we going to do? We held hands together. We said, we are going to pray for these children. We prayed for them. We prayed. And we believed God. And Pastor Charles went back to Kampala. And I remain in Kenya. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And then the sister knew where she had gone. She was not around. But the son calls me. Yeah, she had gone to see her mother. The son calls me. I see a number. He calls me, Uncle, please pray for me. What's the problem? I'm not sleeping. What's happening? I'm seeing demons, figures in the night. I can't sleep. Even when the mother came, he went to her bedroom to sleep there. And he's 20 plus. But he couldn't sleep in his room. So I told him, okay, I'm praying for you. I prayed for him over the phone. That night he slept. Are we together?
Then,
Kumbe, Brother Charles was coming. And I told him, next week you are coming. We are coming to Nairobi. And that week, we went to the Pastor Charles to Nairobi.
It's a week.
You can remember. It's even Pastor Charles who prayed a prayer of deliverance over that boy. Are you listening? Today, as we speak, amen? He's no longer doing drugs. They went. I will get that. The other daughter, who is in
Australia,
she's even following us. Okay? We started praying for her. We prayed for them, actually. I won't even share that one with him. Because she told me recently, when I was about to come here, when she heard that I am coming, because she follows our preachings online. When she heard that I was coming, she called me, she sent me a message. I told me, Pastor, I want support. You are traveling to Zambia. You know, I didn't have money. I had the ticket, but I didn't have even pocket money. She sent me $200. But I told her something. Sister,
Alongo,
can you just come closer to this God of your mother? You know what she told me? Brother, I want to tell you today, I have decided to follow the footsteps of my mother. I'm following her God. Are you getting that? Praise God. Sisters, can you hear that? Can you hear that? Can you hear that? You have a right to claim your children back. This gospel is as powerful as it used to be. Amen. And our children don't belong to the world. Our children are ours. Can you repeat it again? I thought that they can hear properly.
Ana atu.
Get it? We are not giving our children the devil.
Praise God. Our children are our children. God gave us that they inherit after us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Our God is able. Listen, brothers, our God is able. Are you listening? I never came here to make noise. I came here to tell you the truth of God's word. And I said, I may not be able to present it properly, but may God bring it out so that it can sink into your mind according to the intents of my heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I learned from my pastor. Amen. I looked at him. I looked at his children. Are we together? And they are all believers. They are all married. It's only two are not married. But the last born is only a preacher. He's an upcoming minister. So as he steps out of the seed, in his own house, there's a seed.
So in Abusa, in
you know, people, let me tell you something. Let us not be so rapturous. We are so conscious of the rapture and we are not seeing anything happening here. We must see the power higher so that we can build our faith. Going for the rapture will take faith. That must be built up. We are making the rapture while we can't see God here. Get it? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now listen to this. And because of that, God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
When he saw again that the work of God has been messed up and his children needs to be restored back, he sent a message in our day of Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Are we together? To do what? To restore us back again. Are we together? To that way that we lost. That way of our fathers. Amina. As I've said, we were not just called to be message believers and remain there. We were called to go back the faith of our fathers and be where they were and be what they were and do what they did and carry the power they carried. I know someone is hearing me. Amen. I'm saying this. Are you listening? That when God sent William Branham, he never sent him just for us to be jumping and saying we are message believers. We believe the message. We are with the message. No. He called us. We go back to be what our fathers were. To do what they did. To say what they said. To live what they lived. Are you getting that? Praise God. Praise God. That's why my precious pastor yesterday said what? That God told William Branham that I have sent you with what? Those who are listening. I'll send you with what? With a message. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 I want to read you something here. The book of... Just have a few minutes. Sometimes it's Matthew 11. You know what? Yesterday, Pastor Charles said something. That he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw two libraries. He saw two libraries. One was for Malachi. 4, 5, and 6. Then, at the exit of that
library, there was another library. Ephesians 4:11. Are you getting that? Now the question is this. I want to hear this. Chapter 11, Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he said to of his disciples, and said unto him, are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Praise God. Amen. Are you the one? You know, Jesus, John was in prison. After foretelling about Jesus, after introducing about Jesus, and even telling people he is a lamb, and we take away the sin of the world. After doing that great job, he finds himself in prison. Even if you are the one, you will start wondering. You see, did they do the right thing? Is he the one that was sent to introduce? Because the normal thing was the human part. Was that now that John had done such a great job, he would grow old peacefully and sleep peacefully. As he watches the fulfillment of the work that God had given him. But you know what happens now? He finds that he is in prison. After doing all that,
and
surely somehow he might have been offended. Because he sends that you go sick, go ask whether he's the one. Go ask whether he's the one. Or do we wait for another one? Because if he's the one, what am I doing in prison? And he came to release people from prison. Here and I'm in prison. Go ask whether he's the one. Or do we look for another one? Praise God. Amen. And Jesus answered him, told them what? You come here, you sit here. You here and do what? And see what's happening. They take the report to John. And he told the disciples of John, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Praise God. Church. Can I hear an amen? Listen. Amen. The ministry that God has raised, it's so simple that sometimes we think we have to wait for something better than what we are seeing. Just as the ministry of William Branham mixed people, and they got confused instead of understanding things. The same way. Fivefold ministry is so simple that people tend to overlook it. Not even from outside there. The very ones my brother Peter is preaching to. Are you listening? Praise God. The simplicity of God's ministry has become a stumbling block to many people. Even them who we are ministering to. I told the church, the biggest problem that we have as believers, or as members of my church, is that they say, okay, you are preaching good. Yes, like one person said, Pastor, you preach very well, but I don't see the power. But you are preaching very well.
You know, he doesn't see people rolling in chairs and kicking chairs so that he can believe people are being filled with the Holy Ghost. I told him, now what do you want? My pastor told me to go to a different church. Because we don't see the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. Then I was with his wife. I asked the wife, have you ever experienced someone being filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, yes, I've seen. Now where were you, sir? Finally he went. Finally, he went.
Then I end up.
But I want to tell you something.
China.
As you keep quiet. Amen. 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 God,
Mulungu.
We read in the book of Ephesians
4:11.
It is God
Mulungu.
Who called. It is God
Mulungu.
Who led captivity captive. It is God who has given these gifts unto men. And I want to tell you something without fear or contradiction, that for you to be perfected, you must believe and be under these ministries that God has raised. Without that, there's no perfection. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing me, church? When I was praying about my coming here, now listen to this statement. You can fail all the others. I want to tell you, this is the first time maybe Pastor Charles, maybe Pastor Celeste can correct me very much, that we have met. This is the first time
I have
seen where ministers who are agreeing almost 100% are meeting together. Most of the other conventions, we meet with mixed ministers. Ministers who don't agree, but they have come. But this one is the first meeting I can say that we have been in the daily devotion preaching and agreeing, and we are meeting for the first time. Are you getting that out? And when I was praying, this is what I was told. This is the true ministry of God. Brethren, you better stop doubting. You better stop doubting. Believe in your pastor. Believe in your evangelist. Believe in your apostle. You believe in them. Because God is working through them. And you want to see God? Believe them. If you doubt them, it's your own problem. Are we together? Are we together?
Amen.
He may not preach about money. Amen.
He
may not come begging you. But I
want
to tell you something. And I tell the church, and I want to stay here without fear or contradiction. Plant. In these ministries. They talk about sowing seeds. Isn't it?
Amen.
And the world is so zealous. Yes. You know what? The work that Pastor Piri is doing is too much. It's too much. And I want to tell you, brethren from Zambia, you don't support that work. People from outside will support the work. And the blessings will go there. They will never be yours. I'm telling the truth. You know, Africans, we have some kind of mentality of beggars. We just want to be assisted, given, eating, receiving. Stop that. Support the work of your God, the God who is in your midst. Are we together? I may come here and excite you, but tomorrow I'm going back to Eldoret. You remain with it. One time, Pastor James Verem came to our church. And he said, you know, when a visitor comes, when he comes with biscuits and sweets, and they are nice, and maybe bread. Okay, nowadays bread is very common. During our day, bread was a very precious thing. Okay, he comes with that. But you know what? It is not the sweets. And the biscuits. And the chocolate. That sustains you. It is the what do you call maize?
Nshima.
The maize.
Nshima.
That he carries riding with a bicycle that he brings into the house. Where children don't even look at it. And the potatoes. And the ugly cabbages. They are the ones that sustain your life. Are you getting that? Are you getting that, brothers? Are you getting that, sisters? So whenever your pastor is there standing and laboring, and there you are, people even say, well, I can't give my tithe. I better help the poor. Yes, you go helping them. But there's no blessing there. The blessing is in this. That tithe must come the storehouse of God. It must come here. So that who is going to eat? The pastor. Let him eat. Whom do you want to eat? Whom do you want to eat that pastor? Let him eat that tithe. Yes, you're not like me. There's no amen. No amen can come from there.
Yes.
But I want to tell you the truth. Sometimes we suffer from poverty because of our foolishness. Not because of the word of God. God has no discrimination. God has no respect. He's not a respect of persons. There's no way he's going to bless a white man and forget us. No way. Obey the word. And see God fulfilling his word. I even want to say this, brothers. My fellow pastors. Offering is a form of worship.
Amen. Yes.
It's not a by the way thing. It's not a by the way thing. Not a by the way thing. I know what you say by the way. That is, we are giving us, we are going out. No. I know on Sunday you do your offering. I know how you do it here. But some places people give it as you're going. No. It's a worship. It's a form of, we are saying, it's an offering. So we are giving it to God. I want also to hear someone pray over that offering. That we are blessed of it. Are we together? Are we together? I want to tell you something. If God making you rich will make you leave Christianity, you better leave now. Because you're not supposed to be a seed of God.
Yeah.
A seed of God is never carried away by money. He knows what who belongs, where that money belongs, and who is the owner of him and the money. Praise God. Praise God. If my wife could have left me when we had nothing. She is not fit to take a plane like the way she did. Are we together? But because she stayed with me, why could we survive with the 10 shillings? And when she's saying pray, I know she could pray. I know she could pray. I could walk and come back with nothing. She never told me, what kind of a man are you? What kind of a husband are you? What do you think we are going to eat? She never said that. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Now today she can go in the plane and fly. What is she enjoying? The outcome of our obedience and sacrifice. Church, listen. God will never come through somebody else. He will never come in person. Are you listening, Zambians? He will never come through a path. He will never come in person and stand here. I'm the Jehovah God of Israel, the King of the heavens and the earth. The one who inhabited eternity. He will never come down. He will never. Are you listening? He will come through Andrew Piri. This short man who speaks and no one hears. If you are a few meters, you can't even hear what he is saying. He will come through that man. He will come through Zima. He will come through that thin man there behind there who has kept me in his house so well. He has no flesh. He will come through that. And if you don't see him through that, you better go back to your knees and tell God to show you, to open your eyes so that you can see how he's coming through. Amen.
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 You know, people, they want to hear so much about the prophet William Branham. William Branham. William Branham. I want you to hear also what Andrew Pillia said. I want you to hear what Charles Crispin Marino has said. I want you to hear what a God what is that hard name has said.
Amen.
Hear that.
Mberani.
And I want to tell you, brethren, we are not followers of a fable that does not exist. We are not preachers of a gospel that is non-existent. We are preachers of a gospel that is there and is real. If only you can believe, it's going to work. That's because people are so carried with useless things. You block God from coming your way. You block God from even revealing himself to you. You know, I say in our country, it's a shame. Okay, as I finish this. Amen.
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 Hear this. This man whom God has raised. They are men. God raises men. What Brother Branham said, men with backbone. Men with a stand. Not compromisers. Are we together? Not men, they are here today. Tomorrow they are there. Today they are saying this. Tomorrow they are saying that. No. No. Not men who are lenient with sin. It's men who call sin, sin. If sin has been committed, it has been called sin. You know, in our country, they call me a legalist. And I'll tell you why.
Vanitana legalist.
Eh, good. Majitaka legalist. Get that. Are you together? You know why? Because people want us to play religion with God's word. Get this. Amen. Brother and sister, God is holy. God is righteous. And God can never share his glory with anyone else. Young people, are you here? Can I see young people? Raise your hand. Young people, you who are not married, God bless you. Listen. God is holy. I may not see you, but remember, there is a God in heaven who sees you. Are we together? Are we together? And we don't entertain you going to marry unbelievers. It is out of the order of God's word. Wait until God gives you a sister from here. When I say here, I don't mean this sister. From the word of God.
Amen.
You can play your cards. You are intellectualism. Go there and bring a girl and try to woo her and do all this abracadabra until she believes the message. Yes, she will believe. Are we together? And you'll marry her. But remember, you have only deceived Piri. You have only deceived God. And God follows his word. He will follow. After 2 years, your house becomes a boxing arena. If you are a karateka like Sister Marino, Okay? Then the, whatever the, you now you start wondering who you married. Because now the demons have risen again. Why? Because you lied. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if your pastor thinks that he can play around and cover you up, brother, he's only covering you. But God can never be covered. He will still come back and bring it out. When I say that, I am told you're not understanding. You're not understanding, people. These are our daughters. You don't want them to get married. These are our sons. You don't want them to get married. If I don't want to get married, I have sons also, I have daughters. But I didn't even tell you, they told me to give you Pastor Paul, told me to greet you very much. You are with him. And Stephen.
Yes.
And even the small piece, but she can't remember that she saw you. He has forgotten. I have two daughters, I have Faith, I have Peace, I have Paul, I have Stephen.
So
I have children in my house,
in peace.
But what I'm telling you is what I also tell them. I tell them I'm among the few who God gave a favor, who received God's favor. Because the Bible says he who gets a wife gets what? And I tell them, do you want to have this favor that I have? Do you want to have this favor that I have? Then believe this God. Serve him with the whole of your heart. Be honest. Be sincere. Amen.
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 And when you are sincere, God will honor that sincerity. But you become an actor. Then you will meet him. Are you getting my?
Hallelujah.
So I say this. Some ministers will always compromise and say, oh, it's okay. But it's okay. I tell him, okay, if it's okay with you, with me, it's not okay. Count me out. Amen?
Amen.
And as I finish, I say this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We believe one faith. We believe one God. We have one Lord. Are you getting that? We don't have several faiths. That today we are with others, tomorrow we are with the polygamists, the other day we are the high calling, the other day we are with the Francis, the other day we are with the Jacksonville, the other day we are with all this nonsense. No, God is giving us a revelation that's pointing us to one point. Amen. Are you getting that? The Bible says there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one spirit, there is one Father of us all. Amen. And therefore the ministers of God must be of one spirit, seeing one thing, leading people to one direction, which is to Jesus Christ of Calvary. Hallelujah. 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 And if you believe that, I want to tell you something. All things are possible to them that believe. And God will always reward your diligence. Amen. On God's word. But you compromise. Oh, we are one. We are not one. We are not one until we are one. We are not one until we are one. In faith, in hope, in spirit, in baptism, in lordship, in fatherhood, we must be one. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. One day I refused. Me, I refused. Some brothers go somewhere. Okay? And because they know that pastor agrees with me, out of the country,
And they say, okay, we want to hold a meeting. We are going to organize. And we always when go to when we go back. You know Brother Kimani? Yes, we know him.
Uh-huh.
So when we go back to Kenya, we shall organize a meeting. And we shall all come together. So that you come, we shall have a blah blah. This day, they will fix the date. But you know what? On the ground, we are not one. But because now our visitor is coming, we are one. Let's not be actors. I told that brother called me before the event. I told that the brother called me before the event came to me. I told him, sir.
Now, sir.
Thank you, but I'm not with them. We don't agree. And I told him the reasons why. And I told him, if you want to prove it is true, you wait and see. If they will ever tell me, they will never. Today, they have never told me. Those ministers were forced to cancel the meetings. We are not here to act. Listen, we are not here to act. We must live who we are. We must be faithful to our calling. And the one who called us. We may not be good preachers, but in our stumbling way, in our mixed up way, let us be sincere in the way we are serving God. God will come and put things right in his own way. Praise God. Because he's faithful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, you are God, you are Lord, you are gracious, you are mighty, you are good. You know, God, what is in us. You know what we need. You know what we require. You know what has been ailing us. You know what we are lacking. You know, God, what we require. Thank you, Father, for your word. I bless you. I worship you. I'm nothing but a mortal. Master, have your own way, even with your church and with your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.